We begin Parshas Bo with the eighth of the ten Makos, right? We have the whole story with the Arba, the locusts. Terrible plague of locusts comes, sent to Mitzrayim after Moshe warns Paro. And here we go. That's my last one. Sorry. All right. I'll have to use that one. Okay, so after Moshe warns Paro that you're going to have a plague of locusts come, they're going to come and eat up every last bit of produce that you have left after Bara, the hailstorm, had already destroyed all the produce that they had. The last little bit's going to be taken by the locusts. Paro isn't afraid. His servants convince him. No, call back Moshe. They want to go. They have this whole conversation. Eventually, he makes Moshe leave in a huff. And locusts come. Now, what type of locust storm was this? The pasuk tells us something fantastic. The fun of lo haya arbet kemohu, the akarav lo yekain. Never beforehand had there been such a locust plague, nor afterwards would there ever be such a plague of locusts. Rashi and Ramban, first, let's start off, explains. The akarav lo yekain, what does the pasuk mean that there will never be such an equivalent locust plague? Hakasav modia otanu miderech hanevua she'acharav lo yekein. This wasn't just a prediction, guys. This wasn't just wow, that was an amazing locust storm, and therefore there's no way there'll ever be another one. No, this was a nevuah. The Torah is testifying to us there will never again be such a dramatic, insane locust plague. Never again, the pasuk says. That's what the Ramban says. However, go to Rashi. Because of Rashi, Rashi says the following. Now, you guys might have been familiar with this story from Tanakh, because, we get to read it every year. We all know, and even if you don't read it every year, you hear about this, the whole Pesach story, every year on Pesach, at the very least. But only those that are Bekiyim in Tanakh are aware of Sefer Yoel. Right, Yoel is one of the Treyasar. Yoel has four Perakim, and the first couple of Perakim is dedicated to saying about, I think it's really the second, maybe the third, also, is dedicated to this tremendous locust storm, which is going to come against Klal Yisrael in that era. They don't do tshuva. We're not learning Sefer Yoel now, but Pasha Pshat in that story is that there was an insane locust storm then as well. A swarm of locusts came in there, infested all the land, and the pasuk there tells us, as Rashi quotes, "Ba'oso shayav yimei Yoel shenamar bo kamo lo niyeh min ha'olam." Wait a second. The pasuk in Yoel tells us about that locust swarm that there was never such a locust swarm. We're not even dealing with different accounts from the weathermen. These are two different psukim. One pasuk, the first, look it up, this week's parsha says there will never again be such a locust storm. And the pasuk in Yoel tells us there was never such a locust storm. Okay, so who's right? Hashem speaking to Moshe in the Torah, or Yoel speaking from Hashem in Sefer Yoel? I just don't get it. They clearly contradict each other. Which pasuk is right? So, we might not have been familiar with that pasuk in Yoel, but Rashi was. And Rashi comments, and Rashi says, what do we do with that pasuk? You obviously have to make some lumnish chakira. You have to distinguish between the two cases. So, what is the distinction? Lamanu shayu gadol mishel Moshe. We learned that there was more locusts in the times of Yoel. That swarm of locusts was bigger than Moshe's. In Achanami, that's right. Oso shel Yoel haya al yidei minim harbe. There were five different types of locusts, not just one. Five different types of locusts in the days of Yoel. However, in the days of Moshe, it was different. However, Moshe's was only one min. Sarashi resolves the apparent contradiction. How? Again, our pasuk says there will never be such a locust swarm. And that one says there was never such a locust swarm. Which one's right? The answer is both of them are right. They were each unique in their own fashion. The one in the days of Yoel was massive, perhaps bigger than the one in the days of Paro and Moshe over here. However, there was lots of different types. So there, that's more understandable. There was five different types of locusts there. So combining them all together was much bigger. However, the one of Moshe's had only one type. And that one type was bigger than any single group of Yoel's. Okay, so that's the distinctions. Moshe's was unique in one sense. Never was there a single type of locust swarm in the history of the world other than Moshe's that was that great. And in Yoel's, there was never such a massive in entirety locust swarm. They're combining those five. All right, lovely. That's what Rashi says to explain this steer in the psukkah. However, the Ramban has a question. V'kashal alai maimer rav. However, it doesn't work so well. He doesn't like Rashi's answer. Why not? Sha'arei, again, we might have known the pasuk in Bo. We probably did not know the pasuk in Yoel. And almost certainly, we did not know this pasuk in Tehillim. But Baruch Hashem for the Rishonim, they knew everything. So, Sha'arei Kasev, the pasuk tells us in Tehillim about the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, describing the locust plague. Vayitain l'chasil yivulam, v'yagi'am la'arbe. The pasuk says, and Hashem gave to their bounty, referring to the Egyptians, to the chasil, one of the types of locusts. And he gave all their hard effort, all their work, to the arbe. Those are already two different types of locusts. What else does the pasuk say? V'ksiv, amar v'yavo arbe, v'yelek, v'aimis par. The pasuk later in Tehillim says that along came the arbe, one type of locust, and the yelek, another type of locust. So clearly, in Paro and Moshe's day, also, there were different types of locusts. Question, again. Rashi had a steer between two psukim. By Moshe, it says that there was never such a locust plague ever in the history of the world, and by Yoel, it says the same thing. Which one's right? Rashi gave a chilak. Rashi, there's a distinction between them. In Yoel, there were lots of different types, and together, as a conglomerate, they were the biggest. Whereas, in the days of Moshe, there was only one type. The Ramban says, that sounds very nice. You know, that's a good chiluk. However, the Pesukim and Tehillim clearly contradict that. The Pesukim and Tehillim say that there were actually numerous types in Moshe's day as well. There was Arbe, there was Chasil, there was Yelek. Those are different types of locusts. Don't ask me. I don't know what they look like. I don't know the difference between them. But they are locusts. And I don't know. One bug has long ears, one has whatever, antenna. They were different. The point is, in the days of Moshe also, there were different types of locusts. So what's Pshat? Rashi's answer cannot suffice. So the Ramban tries to, you know, defend Rashi. He says, V'ulai, perhaps, by the little plus symbol. The Ramban did not put that plus symbol there. I put the plus symbol there, right? V'ulai yomar harav, shahaya min ha'arbe, shel Moshe, gadol mishel Yoel. V'shar minim shel Yoel, gadolim mishel Moshe. Well, the Ramban says, maybe what Rashi really means is not that there was only one min by Moshe's, but let's call that min arbe, right? That's what the plus calls it. By Yoel, there were five types. By Moshe, there were three types. But the arbe of Moshe were larger than the arbe that were found by Yoel, and therefore by Moshe there was never such an arbe swarm again like Moshe's, and by Yoel there was never overall such a locust swarm. If you're unsatisfied, so was the Ramban. Ve'ela devarim b'talim. He doesn't have to tell you why. He's like, nah, that's just not right. Okay, look, we're not going down this route. So the Ramban rejects that. So, now, with a similar understanding of the Pasuk, meaning to say that the Pasuk indeed means there never was and never will be a locust swarm like in the days of Paro, the Ramban has a twist on it, different than Rashi's, where I have the little Aleph 2. Aval b'chol gvul mitzrayim nimsha. The Ramban says, you have to look earlier in the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, lefanav lo haya arbe kemohu, v'achrav lo yiyah king. Right? That there never was and there never will be such an equivalent locust swarm. However, what does the whole pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Vayal ha'arbe al kol eretz Mitzrayim." The locust went up on the whole land of Mitzrayim. Vayanach bechol gvul Mitzrayim kaved ma'od. And they went and they spread out over the entire boundary of Mitzrayim. Lefanav lo hayakein arbe kamo v'achar lo yakein. The Ramban says the correct way to read this pasuk is following after. It's nimshach. It's drawn after the word Mitzrayim. In the entire boundary of Mitzrayim, never again would there be such a locust plague. As opposed to the one that happened in Yoel's times. Is that in Mitzrayim? No, it was by the Jews. In Eretz Yisrael. So both psukim are right. And the pasuk really means there never will be one like this ever again. But in different contexts. By this pasuk, what does it mean? It means there will never be one like this again in Mitzrayim. And by Yoel's context, what did it mean? There will never be one like this again in Eretz Yisrael. Two different swarms about different regions. Now, why is that significant, you might ask? The Ramban explains, perhaps it's because remember, Mitzrayim was one of those lands that never needed rain, right? Part of the contrast of Eretz Yisrael versus Mitzrayim is Eretz Yisrael right now. We're saying Vaneinu, right? We're bringing into our tefillos additional pleas for rain. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is built as a rain trap. We need to turn to Hashem. We need our Nachlo to be filled with water from Shemayim. We have no other source of water. Even today, we think we can fix it in a different technological fashion, but Still, ultimately, we need rain. Without the rain, we would not be able to survive. And Mitzrayim is totally different. Mitzrayim, they have this beautiful river. They have the Nile. That always is what irrigates the land. Very different regions. Which one's more likely to be hit by a locust swarm? Eretz Yisrael. The reason is because in an arid, dry temperature, that's when the locusts swarm more frequently. I don't know. This is what the Ramban says. Wikipedia, if you will, but let's take him at his word for now. Right? In times of dryness, that's when locust swarms come more frequently. If so, it was a very big chiddush that there was this locust swarm in Mitzrayim. It was so massive for a land that was never visited by locust swarms because the land always had water because it didn't need rain. It had its own river that always was supplying it with water. And therefore, the Pasuk's showing you that the one in the days of Pyro was particularly unique. Because in the land of Mitzrayim, there was never anything like this, nor would there ever be one again, because it was so counter what anybody would have expected in the normal weather patterns. Which, again, highlights the miracle and the miraculous nature. What?
They just got hit with the blood.
Exactly, yeah. This is another one of those, another way to see how miraculous Mitzrayim Mitzrayim was. So that's the Ramban's pshat. However, do any of you think that maybe you could suggest a different way to read the pasuk? The first pshat of Rashi, one Ramban didn't really like, he tweaks it a little bit. How is he reading this pasuk? The fun of Lohaya Arba Kamo. Never beforehand was there such a locust plague, but Acharav Lo Yeh came. And afterwards, there would not be one such as this. Not like this. Both Rashi and the Ramban were assuming, as I just said, there never was, never will be. How else might you read this pasuk? Go for it, sorry. Interesting. It doesn't fit so well, but I like where you're going. I like your attempt. Go for it. So that sounds, that's a very good shot. It sounds a little bit like the Ramban's defense of Rashi, which the Ramban himself didn't like so much. Let's see if we can maybe, it's a good try. Let's try to see what the Ramban says then, quoting somebody very cool to quote, Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel had a parish on the Torah. We don't have all of it. We have random little snippets, most often found in the Rishonim. But let's see what Rabbeinu Chananel said. Because of Rabbeinu Chananel, the parish of Torah Shalom, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rach, right, one of the earliest of the Rishonim, has his own shot in this passage. From the time of Moshe's tefillah until now, there has never been arba like this in all of Mitzrayim. What's the pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel? He says, from the time that Moshe davened that the arba should leave, until today, I assume he means even past the time when the Torah was given, and even up to our modern era, there has not been a locust swarm in Mitzrayim. Meaning to say, a different reading of the pasuk. Never beforehand was there a locust swarm of this caliber, and never again in the land of Mitzrayim, like the Ramban, reading it off the land of Mitzrayim, would there be a locust swarm bichlal. There would not be locusts that would come and wreak havoc in the land. And if you say sometimes locusts do come into the land, let's say they were in Eretz Yisrael, for example, like in the days of Yoel, well, even if they were to move into Eretz Yisrael, into Eretz Mitzrayim, sorry, they still don't eat up the whole land. They don't take advantage and take everything as they had done in the days of Pyro. Meaning to say, a different reading of the pasuk. Not that there would never be locusts in the land of Mitzrayim. Oh, sorry. Not to say that there will never be such a large swarm like this ever again, because there was in the days of Yol. But never in Mitzrayim would there be locusts that would actually ruin the land as they had done in this time. So again, like the Ramban saying that there would never be locusts like this, but the Ramban's first shot was that there would never be such a big locust swarm. Beinu Chananel's is much more fascinating. He says that it's a guarantee from the pasuk. Locusts will never come and eat up everything in Mitzrayim up until this very day. A fascinating shot. And a different one, and therefore there's no stira to Yoel, right? You understand? Because in Yoel, it wasn't an Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't in Mitzrayim. The same idea as the Ramban. However, just a different tweak on it in saying that, not that, oh, that one was so big and there will be smaller ones. No, no. There won't be any. There will be no locusts to come and invade Mitzrayim. Another thing worth Wikipedia, is that true? I don't know. Seems interesting, right? Is it actually true that Mitzrayim doesn't get hit by locusts? Maybe. I don't know when the last locust swarm was in Mitzrayim. Again, I don't know when there was the last locust swarm was anywhere. But worth investigating. That's Rabbi Hananel's pshat. The Ramban, though, gives a third and final way to read the pasuk. Remember, we started off with Rashi's read of the pasuk, which the Ramban didn't like and tweaked a little bit. That there would never be such a massive locust swarm. The Ramban said it meant in Mitzrayim versus Eretz Yisrael. Then there's Rabbi Hananel who said that same idea, but not that there will never be such a massive one. There will never be a locust swarm again in Mitzrayim. Let's see the Ramban's third pshat. V'dati b'pshat ha'kasav. However, my understanding of this pasuk is ki ba'avor shemakas ha'arbe regila lavo lef'amim b'chol ha'doros. Since it's normal for, you know, arbe to come every once in a while, v'od shebazos k'derech ha'mikra ki ruach ha'kadim nes'o. And after all, remember, Hashem made all the makos happen on a seemingly natural level, right? Even Kriyas Yamsuf, the pasuk tells how, like, the wind blew all night, and eventually the water split. Like, it made it look like it was not miraculous, even though any idiot would know that it was miraculous. That doesn't happen ever. And moreover, the Jews would be there right at the exact time they knew it was going to happen. Obviously, it was miraculous. But Hashem guised it within the realm of nature. Comparably, the Ramban was saying, is that even though Arba looked like it was brought by a natural force, all of a sudden, this big wind came and blew in all these locusts. It seemed like it was a natural thing. However, Mitzrayim, as we said earlier, was not the type of land that would get hit by locust swarms. And therefore, what does this pasuk mean? It means, Bavur ze'al marki haya gadol ma'od mikol asher niya b'mikra ha'olam. Even though it looked natural, this was supernatural. Because never beforehand had there been such a big swarm in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was not, as we said it before, a land which was commonly having locust swarms. Therefore, from the fact that there was such an enormous one, such a tremendous amount of locusts, that was something which was clearly coming directly from Hashem. And same thing with Yoel. Same thing in Yoel. That was just too abnormal to be part of the regular cycle. Sometimes there's a big locust swarm, sometimes there's a small, sometimes there's none at all. But there's never one that's, I don't know, 10 times the size of the next one, right? It's like you have, like, hurricanes come to Florida every single year, right? There's always going to be a hurricane, and they range, whatever. Sometimes they're bigger, sometimes they're smaller, sometimes they don't happen at all. Who knows if they got lucky? But imagine that you have a monster swarm. I don't know, that's the highest level of a hurricane, level 5, right, or something like that, right? A level 10 by whatever measures they use. I don't know, I made that up. But that comes along. That's not something that's part of the normal cycle. I don't know. Level 20. Something that's insane. Nothing like that's ever hit before. That obviously is not part of the normal cycle of nature. That's how the Ramban's understanding this pasuk. Not that there never would be such a swarm. That's not what the pasuk is trying to tell you. It was not ever occurring in the realm of nature that there would be such a swarm. Never before and never again. This did not happen as a regular part of the pattern of the natural world. It was clearly a direct act of God. In the same way that when the pasuk says about Yoel, it's not a contradiction. Oh, there never was something like this. It doesn't mean there never was, ever. There was never this much locust. Maybe there was in the days of Pharaoh. It means to say it never happened on its own, naturally. Or, as we like to say, Hashem running the world behind the scenes. It was overtly Hashem saying, if you don't do tshuva, I'm sending this massive, unseen before amount of locusts at you. And that was the same thing that happened with Pharaoh. Accordingly, the Ramban explains the pasuk in a third fashion. He says that the pasuk does not mean that there never was this many locusts. Maybe there was. But only as an obvious, overt sign of Hashem's power and control of the world, not as something which could appear to some to merely be part of the natural world. Okay.
Am I out of time? Let's see. We've got 7 minutes.
Should we go for one quick Ramban? I won't read the whole thing inside. Let's do one more. The pasuk says the following: Hachodesh Zelachem. Right, and this week we get the first mitzvah in the Torah. We get told of how Klal Yisrael, well, not the first mitzvah in the Torah per se, but for Klal Yisrael as a mass, as a unit, we are given the mitzvah of benching the Chodesh, creating and accounting by these months. So Hachodesh Zelachem, Rosh Chodeshim. So Zu mitzvah Rishona Shetiva Kadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael Adei Moshe. This is the first mitzvah Hashem gave the Bnei Yisrael through Moshe. V'chein Amar Be'eretz Mitzrayim. That's why the pasuk stresses in the land of Mitzrayim, right? Why the pasuk have to tell you where it was given? Kishar mitzvah shebatorah hayu b'Har Sinai. All the other mitzvahs in the Torah by Har Sinai. This is a unique mitzvah before those mitzvahs came along. Hachodesh Zelachem was given to the Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Or else the Ramban suggests maybe the reason why the pasuk stressed Mitzrayim was because it was in the land of Mitzrayim in general, not in the specific city of Mitzrayim, which was filled with idols. Okay, a small pshat. Let's move on. The Ramban says, How come the pasuk is addressed Dafkan and Moshe and Aaron? Why is it just Lachem, just to them, just to you? So he says, it should have said to all of the Bnei Yisrael. But since Moshe and Aaron represent all of Klal Yisrael, it could even address itself directly to them, to the leaders of the generation. And then afterwards it tells them that they should go and speak to the Klal Yisrael. Why? Because there it was talking about the mitzvah for the moment. And then he needed to go and tell the actual people of Klal Yisrael to do this. When it addresses Moshe and Aaron in general, it's referring to Klal Yisrael in general, and it's talking about for all time. However, when it then says, go and tell the Bnei Yisrael, it means those actual members of Bnei Yisrael right now to go and do something that was specific for that time. For example, to do some of the mitzvot that they had at that moment, let's say to put the blood on the lintel, to tie up the animal ahead of time, a few days, etc. However, the Ramban has a different shot. What does the Medrash say? Lachem doesn't mean, you know, specifically to them, but referring to all of Klal Yisrael in the future. Rather, it means that you have to be like Moshe and Aaron to do this mitzvah. It's not just for me and you. It's for Moshe and Aaron as people. People who are the leaders of the generation, the Sanhedrin. Because only the Sanhedrin, only the Beis HaGadol, is in charge of the calendar. Let's move on to a fascinating chiddush of the Ramban, which is the reason why I put this piece on here. The Ramban says the following. When the pasuk tells us, HaChodesh Zelochem Rosh Chodeshim, this will be for you as the first of the months. What does that mean? What's changing here? It'll be special to them. The Ramban says something incredible. He says, why is it that there are no names of the months in the Torah? We got Chodesh Rishon, we got Chodesh Shvi. No names. Not January, and not even Shvat. They're not in the Torah. In fact, some of the names that we use, right, Nisan, Shvat, Elul, Sivan, whatever, these names only first appear in the last of the Nevi'im. Only the Nevi'im in the times of the Bayi Sheni, right at the beginning, at the end of the first Gullus, and in Megillas Esther. It's the only time where we find those names. And even there, the Torah identifies them. It says Adar, which is the 12th month. Like, it's always going back to that month. Why? Why is that? Why don't they have names? The Ramban says a fascinating idea, which is unique to him. He says the following. He says, it's because we're counting. That's why we want to stick with the numbers. From what? From the Geula. This month will be for you the start of your counting cycle. I know the world was created in Tishrei. I know we count in terms of years. We count by Tishrei. But for you guys, Lachem, HaKodesh Lachem, for you, it should be Rosh Chodeshim. It will be the beginning of the months. Because I want you, Hashem is telling us, to always remember the miracles of the Exodus. As we read at the end of the Parsha, the last Ramban in the Parsha is a fascinating Ramban. I spoke about it last year. You can look it up if you want later on, about how everything, so many mitzvot in the Torah are there to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This incredible act of salvation where Hashem took us out from servitude to freedom just like that, where He cared for us and took care of us in every single way. Accordingly, we want this to constantly be in our national consciousness. And we always refer to the months by remembering that event. I see the third month. Third month? Third month from what? From the beginning of the year? No, that's not true. Oh, the third month from the Geula. Always in our mind are we counting back to the Geula. That's why the Torah doesn't have names for the months. It gives them numbers, different numbers than they actually always have from Tishrei and onwards. It starts from Nisan to count from the Geula. He gives a mashal. Do you know what it's comparable to? Shabbos. How come there are no weekdays in the Torah? Why doesn't the Torah ever give names to the days of the week? There's no Monday or Tuesday. Why are there no names? Because we're always counting from what? From Shabbos. Yom Yom Rishon l'Shabbos. The first day, counting to that seventh one. We're always aiming, looking at Shabbos to remember Brias Olam. In the same way as Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're always looking back, counting to the Geula. We don't give names in order to remember the Geula. I'll conclude with a question. How come we use names? That's very nice. Now we know why the Torah doesn't give names. There's no Nisan found in the entire Chumash. There's no Shvat, no Elul, no Kislev, no Mar Cheshvan, none of those. But we're all so familiar with them. We all use these names. Why? Are we going against the Torah? Are we doing what the Torah is against, what the spirit of the Torah says, what the Ramban saying Pshat in this pasuk is? HaChodesh Zelochem Rosh Chodeshim? What's Pshat? So Ramban explains. He says, where do we get those names from? Ever wonder? Like the name Cheshvan. You should know the name Cheshvan is actually Mar Cheshvan. It's from an Akkadian name for eight moon. It's the eighth month, I think. I'm right. Anyhow, right, these names are from the ancient Persians. Why do we use them? How did they become so holy? Why are they a part of Yiddishkeit now? What's pshat? Why is that true? The Ramban explains. We dafka chose to keep those names too, because in the same way we counted from the Geula by the months in their numbers, there was a second Geula. We also went out from servitude. We also were freed at the end of Gullus, Bias Rishon. We went and we rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. We went back to our land. We had a second Commonwealth. Anybody tells you, oh, what claim do the Jews have to the land? We lived here for 850 years. Then we had a brief stint of 70 years where there still were Jews in the land, but we just didn't have our own empire. And then for the next 420 years, we were also here. So we went back. We had a Geula. We rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. That was an amazing miracle. Okay, granted, it didn't have all the miracles. We were not worthy to have all the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf and the Makos and the like. But nonetheless, it itself was a miracle that we went back. And we want to remember that Geula too. So what do? In the same fashion, the Ramban tells us that the Torah commanded us here to keep counting from that month of Nisan so that we will always remember the Geula. Comparably, we kept those Goyish names of months with us as part of Judaism. We incorporated it into our system so that we will also have the numbers to remember Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and also to remember the Geula now by referring to Nisan, by referring to Shvat. When today is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, why is Shvat significant? Oh, right. Because we were once in terrible servitude. We had been exiled. We had people killed and murdered and raped and pillaged. And our Beis HaMikdash was burned down. And Hashem redeemed us. And he brought us back to our land. We remember that every time we say Shvat. Every time we say one of the months of those names. Makes you wonder. Who knows? Maybe soon in our days, it'll be a Jewish value to start saying January. And to sign it on a notice. I don't know. I'm not sure. But the point of the Ramban is that we have these constant reminders to always be focused on those kindnesses that Hashem had done for us. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Bavel, if you will. And Eretz Hashem, the Geula, full redemption from the Gullus that we are currently in.